One of the toughest challenges for Christians today is to find a good church, a place where the gospel is powerfully preached, where worship is reverent, and the people have a genuine love for one another. Hi, I'm Mike Brown, pastor of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee, and I invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also have Sunday school classes for all ages, including adults. For more information, visit our website at christurc.org. That's christurc.org.
An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, very grateful that you have taken the time to tune in today to Abounding Grace Radio. I'm Pastor Chris Gordon, and as always, we're thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. You're welcome to go to our website at agradio.org. All these podcasts are there for you for download for free, and there are maps to the churches here, the Escondido United Reformed Church and Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. This is our Friday session of Abounding Grace, where we discuss current issues in Christianity, and we have for the past few weeks been talking about the issue of worship. And again, we're privileged to have with us Pastor Mike Brown of Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. And maybe just to get the discussion going again today on Abounding Grace, I want to read something, Mike, that was stated by David Wells in his book, The Courage to be Protestant. And this is a really good book that deals with a lot of the pressures that we face today in Christianity and considering what worship is and what God has defined for us as our need. And we'll start there and work into the issue of worship. But he says something really interesting. The needs sinners have are needs God identifies for us. And the way we see our needs is rather different from the way that he sees them. No, the product we will naturally seek will not be the gospel. It will be a therapy of some kind, a technique for life, perhaps a way of connecting more deeply with our own spiritual selves on our own terms, terms that require no repentance and no redemption. It will not be the gospel. And then he says this, the gospel cannot be a product that the church sells because there are no consumers for it. When we find consumers, we will find that what they're interested in buying on their own terms is not the gospel. Now, Mike, how does that relate to worship? When we come to worship, we talked about last time, who's defining what? What are we doing? What is this about? Maybe you can comment a little bit in light of Wells' quote there.
Yeah, I think that one thing we have to constantly keep in mind when we think about the worship service is that we are coming to be served by God. Now, that might seem a little strange to us because there is a sense in which we serve God in worship. We offer to God acceptable worship. We come with reverence and awe, as Hebrews 12 tells us. We worship him in spirit and truth, as Jesus told us in John 4. But what we have to keep in mind is that God also serves us through these means that he knows we need. I think Wells really hits it on the head there when he talks about how God knows what his people need for nourishment, need for help, and we being sinners, we have a flawed idea of what it is that we need. So the Lord still, even as he did in the upper room, when he set aside his garments and girded himself and washed the feet of his disciples, he continues to do that every Sunday when he gathers together his covenant community and he descends to them in the power of the Holy Spirit. Through these means, he has promised to bless the preaching of his word and the administration of his sacraments. Those are the means he has given us for our spiritual nourishment. And I always think of what God says in Isaiah chapter 55, where he says, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your wages for that which does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. You know, the truth is, Chris, we always think we know what we want and what will satisfy us, what we need. And the truth is, it never satisfies. God knows what we need, and it's the bread that comes from heaven, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, who comes to us primarily in the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments.
You know, you expose there two kind of mentalities. And I guess, you know, thinking about that John 13 passage, this is really hard for us to accept, Mike. You know, when Peter heard that, you know, there off in the corner was the towel and the water and the basin. And you know, somebody needed to get up and go do what needed to be done to have their feet washed. And nobody wanted to do it. And it was interesting, as Jesus gets up, he transforms himself before them into that of a servant. And he stoops down and washes their feet. And Peter won't accept that. And I think that's a really good way to think about worship today, that often people are approaching worship with the single great question coming, thinking, what am I offering to God? Remember, Peter said, you don't need to wash my feet. Assumption being, I need to wash yours. What are we offering to God rather than what do we need as sinners? We are beggars, if you will. We have a great need when we come before the Lord in worship. And that's why we're discussing here on Abounding Grace today, where we left off last time, the issue of the regulative principle of worship and the elements of worship, things that God has put in place that we can't tamper with. And the thing that we're going to focus in here now a little bit on Abounding Grace today is the one element that is central in our worship. And I guess I say this, Mike, saying that the Word of God is central in everything that we do. But we're going to talk a little bit here now about the importance of preaching in worship and why the preaching of the gospel is so important, why we need that, what preaching is, why the Lord has put this in place for us. And maybe you can begin and launch us into that discussion. And we have a lot of places to go with this today on Abounding Grace.
Yeah, well, the preaching of the word is what is central. I can't help but think of one of the main catechisms that came out of the Protestant Reformation, the Westminster Larger Catechism, in its question and answer 155, when it describes how the Holy Spirit makes the word effectual to salvation. Because, you know, Chris, I would imagine some of our listeners think, well, I can read my Bible at home. That's effective. And certainly there is benefit in personal devotions, or I can listen to something on the radio, or I can do a lot of different studies with other people with the Bible. But there is nothing like hearing the Word of God exposited through a person who has been set apart and ordained for that purpose, in which the person and work of Christ is central. That is the means that God has promised to bless. And so the Westminster Larger Catechism puts it like this: the Spirit of God makes the reading, but especially the preaching of the Word, an effectual means, listen to this, of enlightening, convincing, and humbling sinners, of driving them out of themselves and drawing them unto Christ, of conforming them to his image and subduing them to his will, of strengthening them against temptations and corruptions, of building them up in grace and establishing their hearts in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. What a full answer. And, you know, these guys got it back in the 17th century. We need to be driven out of ourselves, don't we? We're so narcissistic. We're so full of ourselves. We need to be drawn unto Christ. We need to be pulled out of these selfish, dark caves that we want to live in, where we worship our idols, where we're listening to all the voices that are telling us, all the voices from this culture that are telling us how we ought to live and how we can pursue the good life. But it's the preaching of God's word that kind of rocks our world each Sunday, gives us a reality check, and actually is the thing that the Holy Spirit uses to conform us more into the image of Christ.
Right. That's really helpful. Bringing us out of ourselves. You know, it's interesting that the kind of preaching, Mike, that we listen to and we study, that even Christ gave in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, after he was done, we read that the people understood that he spoke with an authority, unlike the scribes and the Pharisees. It was different. And I think this really strikes at something that's a challenge for us today. And it's not just any kind of preaching. I think we approach the worship service, and like Mike already referenced, we have this issue of thinking that we just need some kind of therapy. Wells makes this statement, a technique for life. He says, a way of connecting more deeply with our own spiritual selves on our own terms. And I think that's just what's happened today. I think that's a complete accurate portrayal of modern day preaching, that we come and it's just to build up basically our own self-esteem. You know, it's interesting, Mike, that as we go through the scriptures, there was a conscious effort on the part of the apostles in their preaching to be specific in preaching Jesus Christ. Now, you know, Paul would say this constantly, woe is me if I do not preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. So there was this constant effort, and I'm always amazed, you know, the kind of sermons in Acts that we see are nothing like the sermons we hear today. You know, it was almost the first sermon in Acts, Mike, was a stringing together of Old Testament passages to do one great thing. And the great purpose was to show how Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the scriptures, is the fulfillment of all the promises made to Abraham, and how he has brought salvation full and free through his redemptive work in giving his life, dying on the cross, rising the third day, and now being seated on the throne, and now that gospel power is going out to the ends of the earth. There was something they understood when they preached about this, what Paul calls dynamite, by which God saves. I think we have to totally recover that today. Am I wrong in saying that? You know, what are your thoughts, Mike?
Well, yeah, I agree. It's sadly, I think a lot of what passes for preaching today is topical messages that are sometimes a little more than self-help or therapy with Jesus attached to them. A lot of stories, a lot of illustration, which isn't bad in itself. We definitely need to illustrate, and there can be a place for a helpful story that illustrates a point in preaching. But oftentimes, what's lost in what passes for a sermon today in much of evangelicalism is the person and work of Christ being central. And this is, I think you hit the nail right on the head, Chris, with the preaching in Acts. When you go through the book of Acts, what do you constantly find in the sermons that are recorded there? You find them not preaching themselves, not preaching Jesus as your helper or your therapist or your life coach, but rather the person of Christ in Jesus of Nazareth, this man who has been raised from the dead. He is the promised one, the champion that God said would come to crush the serpent's head, the one who has come as the offspring of Abraham, the true heir of David, the second Adam, the true Israel. He has fulfilled all of the prophecies. He has satisfied the demands of God's law. He was crucified for our sins, was baptized under the wrath of God, and has now been raised again from the dead in power. That's their message. And so when we preach, what we want to preach is Christ from all the scriptures. And we call that redemptive historical preaching, which is simply Christ from the whole Bible. And we assume that the scriptures are not a collection of timeless principles in abstract, but rather a coherent record of progressive revelation that tells the story of God redeeming a people for himself through the person and work of Christ, his Son. And it takes seriously Christ's admonition to the Pharisees, who missed the whole point of the story when he said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." So we're talking about the kind of preaching that the apostles did, the kind of preaching that Christ himself delivered to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, where beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. We're talking about preaching that is the kind that allows the Bible to speak as a whole, as the one word of the one God about the one way of salvation.
Yeah, that passage, Mike, on the road to Emmaus is really important for us. They were confused. And it's interesting, they didn't even see Jesus after the resurrection. These two men were blinded to seeing things as they should. And it's interesting how Jesus opened their eyes. It's interesting when you hear him and how he dealt with them after the resurrection. What's the first thing Jesus did in his own preaching? I mean, you would think that we as preachers today in the church would say, after the resurrection, what did Jesus do and what did he demonstrate for us would be the mission and the mandate of the church? Well, we see it there in Luke 24. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, that's a big passage. He's looking at all of scripture. Notice what it said there, beginning at Moses. Maybe you're a listener and you've been raised in dispensationalism, and you know there was an approach to the Bible that looked at the Old Testament differently, and maybe you've never even heard the Old Testament preached. Well, here was Jesus going back to the Old Testament after the resurrection, going to Moses, the prophets, even the Psalms, and expounding and showing how all of those scriptures pointed and were fulfilled by his person and work. And that is so important for us today. That's where the dynamite of God lies. That's where the power lies. You know, is it a fair statement in light of that, Mike, to say, and I've heard this said, you know, that Christianity is not primarily a mode of behavior, but a message to be believed. Now, that message believed then will affect the mode of behavior. Mm-hmm. But we've kind of got it all backwards today. We assume the gospel. We assume that we understand all this stuff. And we've not realized where the real power of God is. It's in the message of the cross, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, we need to hear the gospel, which gives us the power to live the Christian life. And I would ask our listeners, are you hearing that gospel each week? Are you hearing at least a regular, steady, consistent diet of gospel preaching? You know, God uses the analogy of food, doesn't he? And in Isaiah 55 says, "Come and eat. I have what you need." And then we find it over and over again, the prophets, I will raise up shepherds who will feed your souls. Jesus tells Peter when he commissions him, "Now go and feed my lambs, feed my sheep." So we should be fed, but fed what? Not more stories with moral punchlines. They can even be stories from the Bible. Be like Daniel, be like Joseph, be like this guy or that guy. But are we getting the food, which is Christ? And Satan doesn't want us to have that. We need to remember that, you know, most of us, if we've grown up in church, we've heard characters such as Noah, Joseph, David, Daniel preached as moral examples to imitate, but not as sinners in the unfolding drama of redemptive history who really foreshadowed Christ. And so really, when we've grown up on those kinds of stories, we really haven't learned the Bible. Because, you know, it's possible to know Bible stories, yet miss the Bible story, you know? And we have to know that the Bible has a storyline. It's more than just a collection of proverbs and sayings and poems and architectural directions in Leviticus. And, you know, it has a lot more than that. It traces an unfolding drama that culminates in the person and work of Christ. It's telling God's story, how he rescues rebels from their sin. And starving, weary souls need to hear that storyline and its unfolding drama. We don't need to hear yet another topical series on how to be a better husband, father, or employee. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better husband. I want to be better at those things. But in order to do that, I need to hear the gospel.
Well, there's so much there. let's talk a little bit, just for a second, Mike, about you emphasized here, you mentioned the problem today of topical preaching. And right, we can obviously approach the scriptures with topics, we can do that, but that's not our primary purpose in the preaching of the word, is it? Today we kind of treat the Bible, and you kind of touched on this, like a giant fortune cookie. And what the pastor does is he approaches the text and he says, what do I determine for the people they need? And so he says, well, I want to preach on something that would be nice for them. And so he preaches on a bad marriage and how to have a better marriage, or your husband's been a bum, what do you do? you know, what we need and what we have to think about here is what has the design that the Lord has given us. Mike has just basically summarized for us that what we do in preaching is not about good advice, ultimately. It's about good news. There's a crucial difference there. And he also said that Satan wants to attack that. I find it fascinating in the New Testament that the Apostle Paul was dealing with this. In fact, he would even say that Satan is raising up in the church ministers of righteousness who come as angels of light. Now, if that's what's going on in the life of the church, and it's no different today, what do you think they're attacking? Well, if John said, let me decrease and Christ increase, I assure you, these ministers are decreasing Christ and increasing themselves. And that's exactly what he says to Corinth. He says, for if he comes who preaches another Jesus whom we've not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you've not received, or a different gospel which you've not accepted, you may well put up with it. What Paul was shocked with was, Mike, Christians were tolerating this stuff. Christians were accepting this stuff, and he was weeping over this. So it is a very serious issue. We want to exalt Christ in the beauties of his righteousness and gospel, because we believe that is God's power to save everyone who believes. That's why we consciously give ourselves to do that in the preaching, despite all the pressures, despite all the temptations to do everything else, right?
That's correct. As R.L. Dabney put it so well long ago, the preacher's business is to take what is given him in the scriptures as it is given to him, and to endeavor to imprint it on the souls of men. All else is God's work. That's a very well put way of approaching preaching. We need to give the people the food that God has given them. And so this really becomes an issue of being faithful. And we want people to hear Christ on Sunday and hear him proclaimed in his person and work, and see how all the scriptures ultimately testify of him. We're not saying that you need to come to the churches where we pastor, but you do have to go to some good church where you're hearing that. And if you're not hearing that, if you're settling for junk food rather than the rich food, the good meat and the fine wine that God promises his people in this life through the preaching of Christ, then we want to encourage you to find a church where you're hearing the gospel each week, and the gospel rightly distinguished from the law.
Right. And I think it's important to say, we're not promoting here that we should never give instruction in the Christian life. That's really crucial to what we do. But we do make a distinction. We need to make an important distinction between what Christ has done for us and accomplished for us in his person and work. When that truth, when that gospel, which gospel means good news, when that overtakes us, we now seek to actually live out who we now are as new creatures in him in a thankful way. And we'll come back to that next time, Mike, but just to sort of whet our appetite for the next program, how important is that distinction between what Christ has done for us and how we respond, or law and gospel? How important is that for the Christian life?
Well, to mess that up is really to mess up the Bible and Christianity. In many ways, this is what the whole Protestant Reformation was all about. And so when we're talking about redemptive historical preaching, you know, preaching the person and work of Christ from all the scriptures, an essential component of that is rightly distinguishing law, which is God's word that says, do this and you shall live, from gospel, which is God's word that says Christ has done it for you. And knowing that good word is what then causes us to go live in obedience to God's law.
Well, Mike, what a wonderful program today to discuss these issues. So important for us today to think about these important distinctions and how good God has been in revealing the gospel of his son to us. If this has been a blessing to you, we do invite you to go to our website at agradio.org. These podcasts are there for you. And there's also maps to our churches, the Escondido United Reformed Church and Christ United Reformed Church in Santee. We would love to see you on Sundays. We're so thankful that you have taken the time to tune in today, and may this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you. Well, I am Pastor Chris Gordon, the preaching pastor here at the Escondido United Reformed Church. And if you like the doctrines of grace as heard on this program, our commitment at the Escondido United Reformed Church is to preach the Word of God in season and out of season to show forth Jesus from all of Scripture. We do invite you to join us 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on Sundays. 1864 North Broadway is the address in Escondido. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio.